everything that happens is there for our higher learning. And I certainly believe that and really don't have regrets about it now, because I understand now that it was all happening for me to really be able to support people to reconnect to their passions so that they could lead a more purposeful life.
Welcome to the My Future Business Show, where we get you in front of your best audience and keep you there. Not only are we interviewing the biggest names in business to help you become even more successful, we're inviting you to book your spot on the show to help you grow your business. So at the end of the call, make sure you fill in the interview application form at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. Hi, and welcome back to the My Future Business Show. My name's Rick Nusky, and I just have to say thank you so very much for all the positive, warm feedback that we're getting about this wonderful experience called the My Future Business Show. Now, talking about things that are wonderful, I'm on the line with Rachel Carew. How are you, Rachel?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you, Rick. Nice to be with you.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure to have you here. Now, today's call is going to be very important for the entrepreneurs, for the startups, for the existing small to medium-sized business owners who suffer from a thing called perfectionism. Now, we're going to deep dive into this topic, but we're going to also look at what Rachel can do for you, her journey, her entrepreneurial journey, as she moved into stepping into more. Now, before we do that, Rachel, I'd love to learn a little bit about yourself, what you like to do when you're not working, and how you got involved with this wonderful organization.
Yes, thank you. So one of my first passions has always been singing and performing. And I went to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts when I was 18 years old, didn't get into their second year program, didn't realize it at the time, but I was a full-fledged perfectionist, thought, wow, I must suck at this. And turned my back on performing. For almost 20 years, I was actually the human resources manager at EMI Music Distribution with 10 record labels, and no one had a clue that I sang. So all of that changed about 15 years ago, starting with a car accident that led me to see a flyer about a workshop called Joy of Singing while in physical therapy. And that workshop changed my life. And I started singing again, performing again, and ultimately writing an autobiographical self-help book titled Stepping Into More, Lessons from a Recovering Perfectionist, which is a lifelong journey, as well as producing a CD of songs also titled Stepping Into More. So that gives you a little flavor for how I got to be where I am and some of the work that I love doing with my coaching clients.
Okay, we're going to now peel back some of the layers, I think, that's very important to understand about what perfectionism is in terms of your experience with it and how it, you know, really affected you and what others who are coming into this not sure what perfectionism feels like and how you can help them. What would you say to that?
Absolutely. So I think it's interesting that some people think perfectionism, oh, that's a great thing. Like, isn't it terrific to be a perfectionist? And actually, it's just the opposite, because I view perfectionism as a mask. And basically what that mask is if I could present as looking, sounding, acting as if I'm perfect, then I'm covering up for any insecurities, judgments, shame, fear that I might be experiencing. And what perfectionists tend to do is look at things very black and white and have high expectations of themselves and others. And what that does ultimately is it creates a disconnection within ourselves and then a disconnection with others, because other people looking at this mask think, oh, I want to be like her, but I can't relate. And the reason they can't relate is because it's not real, it's not authentic. So the more that in my journey and the work I love doing with my clients is helping them really be able to communicate the good, the bad, and the not so pretty, it actually shows people our vulnerability and our authenticity, and that invites people to be more transparent and authentic with us as well.
Yeah, thank you so very much for sharing this, because I think it can hold back a lot of entrepreneurial journeys, because people don't recognize that they have this perfectionistic, mentality. And it is all about the psychology of going about your day. When you first became aware that there was a problem, what were some of the things that you were feeling?
Well, at the time, I was the manager of training and organizational development at Easton Sports. And I had a child by then. I was creating a corporate university in my role. And from the outside, married. And from the outside, everything looked great.
Yeah.
And I wasn't happy. I just was feeling really unfulfilled. I wasn't feeling satisfied. And as I started to do more of my deeper work, I realized that a lot of this was because of my perfectionistic tendencies and those high expectations that I was putting on myself and others that really could never be achieved or fulfilled. And as part of that, recognizing what was behind that was an old belief pattern that success really equaled achieving, and that my self-worth was fully dependent on achieving versus learning how to really value all of who I am and who am I being, and being okay with that, and recognizing, we're totally redefining what success meant to me.
Yeah, that would have been a very difficult journey to, I guess, unlearn these traits. Now, how long did this actually take you to go through that process? Was it years? Was it months, days, hours?
Well, as I mentioned before, it's really a lifelong journey.
Yes.
So that initial deep dive probably took a couple of years. And then as I continue my journey, it's amazing once you realize that you are a recovering perfectionist, that it really impacts how I view all different aspects of my life, relationships I'm in. So I'm constantly really need to keep it in check to make sure that I'm on a path that's going to lead to fulfillment.
I know that you're a mum and you have two wonderful children, as do I. And you also talk in your bio about, they being your best teachers every day. Part of that would be by reversal. They mirror what you now show them. What can we learn from children about not being so wanting to be perfect in our daily lives, do you think?
Interesting question. I think what we can learn from them, as I have a teen at home, who I say is karma coming my way, is really, again, like, how can we be more accepting and have compassionate acceptance for who they are as people?
Yes.
And not to put too high of an expectation that I'm not going to really love you unless you get certain grades. Yep. Or perform a certain way, and really be able to look at each child for, you know, the divine beings that they are, and where are their gifts, where are their strengths, and how do we really encourage them to bring out that versus focusing more on, where didn't you get the good grade?
Yeah, absolutely. That's powerful feedback. Thank you so much. And it's words from a parent that only a parent could really understand, isn't it? Now, I'd love to go back at that point in time where you were accepted into the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. Now, that's a pretty significant organization, and you were there for a year. Is that correct? And
yes.
Yeah, and at the end of that year, you weren't re-accepted. How did you feel? What was the experience like for you at that time?
It was really devastating. First of all, I was the youngest student at that time, and I'd graduated high school a semester early. My parents were relocating yet again, and I didn't want to move again. So I graduated early, went to the academy, and after that rejection, which years later I can see they really didn't handle it very well. But at the time, you know, like you said, I looked to them as being a very prestigious school, and the message that they sent was, yeah, you really should, pursue other career endeavors. And I was 18 years old. So that was really, really impactful. And anytime I would try to perform, my arms literally would be glued at my side. I couldn't move. I took a singing class at one point, and I was so stiff and rigid. I literally had to write out, when would I move my hand? When would I make an expression?
Oh, wow.
Because was just so unnatural for me at that point.
I can just imagine that, you know, that, that fear and that paralysis that you would have felt, it's stifling, I'm sure.
Yes, and in particular with singing, the reason I love to sing so much is because it was one of the few places growing up as a child that I really felt safe to express my emotions, especially the not so pretty ones like sadness or anger. And that was in a way taken away from me for a very long period of time where I fully didn't self-express.
And I think it really positions your life experiences really position you to be a personal and professional development coach. For without those experiences, you wouldn't have had a perspective based on reality, would you?
Absolutely. Everything that happens is there for our higher learning. And I certainly believe that and really don't have regrets about it now, because I understand now that it was all happening for me to be positioned as I am now, to really be able to support people to reconnect to their passions so that they could lead a more purposeful life.
It's interesting that you say it was life is happening for me and not to me, because so many people think that, you know, they have this victim mentality. The mere fact that you said for me tells me that you're not in that, I guess, that fearful victim state. Is that part of the learning that you take your clients through?
Absolutely. I really am passionate about inspiring reflection and results. And I find oftentimes in our quest to be in service to others and dealing with the chaos du jour of the day, that we disconnect from foundational pieces of who we are, such as our strengths, our values, what kind of work-life integration do we want to experience. So I very much enjoy creating that safe space for people to reconnect to who they are so that they can make more mindful choices and thrive versus really getting into that victim mentality and just thinking, like you said, life is happening to me, I'm a victim of it, and I don't have a choice in the matter.
Yeah, there's so many places that we could go with this call, Rachel. I'm really loving it. Thank you so much for sharing. Now, I wonder about, I always think about this and I talk about it as much as I can, is mindset and daily routines. Part of your, I guess, your empowerment coaching surely has to do with those things. Could you talk to us about what that means to you and what your days look like?
Absolutely. Yeah. So mindset and positive habits are really key to experiencing greater joy and fulfillment. And our feelings impact our thoughts, which impact our actions. And most of our thoughts are negative and subconscious.
Yes.
So the more that we can raise them up to that conscious level, that brings us to a choice point where in any moment, we can really decide, how do we want to be? What action am I going to take that's going to honor who I am today and not get sucked into the negativity of those old tapes that we have in our head?
Yeah, the old tapes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So to cultivate that for myself, I meditate each day. And actually, before I get out of bed and before I go to sleep, I consider what I'm grateful and appreciative for and what's working well in my life. And I'm also very physically fit, so I'm regularly exercising, which not only helps physically, but also to feel more at peace and to feel more at ease emotionally as well. So yeah. Those are just some of my practices.
Just some of them. I'm sure there's many more. Now, I love talking about mentors and the people that we listen to from day to day. We all need somebody who's a higher level than us. Who are you following at the moment? Who are you studying or working with to better yourself?
Sure. And I do believe it's so important for people and the type of work that I do that are there to support others to continue their own development.
Yeah.
So I actually am currently working with a couple of different therapists. I also am very much reconnected to my own spirituality, and I'm working with some guides to support me in that spiritual journey. I'm continually going to retreats. I was at a meditation retreat last weekend.
Fantastic.
So I'm just continually learning and growing, and that's definitely core to who I am. I'm a lifelong learner.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you for sharing. Now, are you still singing now? Are you deep into singing? How is that going?
So when I first started performing again, I was primarily producing cabaret shows for myself and then bringing in other singers, and they were sold out shows, and very quickly it started to feel like work to me. Oh. And as a recovering perfectionist, it's really easy to get into that work mindset. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of took a step back for a bit. And after I produced my CD, which was very joyful for me, I decided to really look for where are those opportunities for joy. So I have been recording. I'm actually recording a song right now, Shallow, from Lady Gaga. I, over the summer, took a musical improvisation workshop series, and I'm starting now to talk about different opportunities to be singing at my synagogue, actually.
Fantastic.
So it's an ongoing journey, and again, it's really about, I could sing anywhere.
Yes.
And I want it to be something that I want to do, I love to do, that fills me up. And so that's a different experience than growing up feeling like I needed to do it perfect and it had to be just right.
Yes, absolutely. You know what? As soon as you started talking about singing, life is about energy, and the energy that you send out, the whole tempo of the show just picked up another notch. So I can tell it's a passion of yours. Thank you for sharing that. Now, I know another passion of yours is obviously helping people and writing. I want to talk about your wonderful book. Could you tell us the title and tell us a little bit about what people can find inside of it?
Absolutely. And I just happened to have
just happened to have
here.
A copy there. There you go. Stepping into more.
Yes. And the CD as well.
Oh, there you go. Fantastic. Yes.
So the book is an autobiographical self-help book where I share my journey with perfectionism. And at the end of each chapter, there are reflective questions for the reader to consider how they relate to their own journey. So it's certainly not tied specifically to someone that wants to perform or sing, but really any journey that somebody's on where they're realizing they might be getting in their own way because of those expectations that they're putting on themselves.
Yes, absolutely. Now, we're going to be making available links back to your book, your CDs, and the likes. Now, when people are working with you, what is the process and what's actually coming up inside of your organization?
Yeah, so I primarily coach with individuals, and I start with a very intense self-discovery process. Mm-hmm. So I have folks complete a passion and purpose questionnaire to get them reflecting and to help me get to know them better. And then during our first discovery call, we really co-create our relationship. Coaching is very much a partnership. And so together we decide what is going to be most value added for them. And as I mentioned before, normally we'll start with that self-discovery. So whether that be helping them come up with a prioritized values list, perhaps doing a strength-based assessment to help them understand their strengths and how to best be leveraging those.
Yes.
Maybe using the Myers-Briggs. So we figure out together what tools are going to really best support them to unearth and reconnect to all of who they are, as well as how to best work together, because I can adapt my style depending on how they like to work.
Yep.
And once we set that foundation, then we look at those different data points, if you would, to help support what our goals are going to be, then we more formally formulate those goals. And then the coaching from then on in is really my client's agenda and how to keep holding up that mirror to them of what they said they wanted and where are those gaps that might get in the way and what not only could they be doing, but really getting them to think about who are they being in this process. And so that's the way the journey goes in a nutshell.
Fantastic. Yes, I'm sure there's a lot more that we could talk about. Now, you talked about Myers-Briggs. Now, in my experience from the corporate world, this is primarily the domain of a HR specialist. Talk a little bit about how important the Myers-Briggs process might be in serving your clients.
Yeah, so what I like specifically about the Myers-Briggs is it really takes a deep dive into what drives us as human beings. And based upon those drivers, we hold certain values, beliefs, and we tend to engage in certain behaviors. There's actually a correlating model you might have heard of called the temperament model by Kiersey. Mm-hmm. And I actually like to use those in conjunction with one another as sort of a check and balance. And what it really does is help clients better understand what does really drive and motivate them.
Yep.
And are they feeling if they're in alignment with that? Did they have that awareness? If they do have that awareness, how much are they really honoring who they are? And at the same time, it also gives them a framework to consider that not everyone's like them.
Yep.
And other people are different and what might be driving other folks and how could we be adapting our approach to really best interact with others who might be different than us.
This could sounds to me like it's very relationship based that you would work with people for an extended period of time to, I guess, take off the layers and get to the core of who they are being. Now, how long does the process take normally from the time you start working with somebody to the time that they see results?
Yeah, it really does depend, of course.
Yes.
Oftentimes, I'll start with a 6-month engagement. I too do a lot of corporate work as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it just really depends. But normally, I recommend starting with a 6-month engagement because to your point, Rick, of course, with any new habit we're trying to cultivate, it really takes that dedicated understanding, awareness, and constant focus.
Yes.
So even if you have a new awareness, you're not going to be able to change it overnight if you're really wanting to create a new habit.
Yeah, that reprogramming, like anything, it's going to take some time, isn't it?
Absolutely. And part of that journey from more of a neuroscience perspective is first understanding those old tapes and not pushing them away, but better understanding why they're there, how they might have served you, and recognizing they're not serving you now. And so that, and at the same time, it's kind of like going to the gym. You have that muscle on one hand, and the other hand, you're building the new muscle of who am I really at my core, and how do I want to be in this world? So that when those old tapes do come up once again, you have that opportunity now to make a new choice. And each time we do that, we're building new synapses in the brain. So that with time, it's going to be much easier to tap into that new muscle.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you find that this unlocks hidden emotions for people? And do you find that they become emotional during this journey with you?
It's not uncommon for people to become emotional because a lot of times people have been going on autopilot.
Yes.
And if you think like of a dysfunctional relationship, even though something might not feel so good, we're not so happy with it, we put up with it because we're comfortable. And so oftentimes in this journey, it can be uncomfortable. It really forces people to be more honest and accountable with themselves. And of course, that can bring up all kinds of emotions.
Yes, thank you very much for sharing. Now, I've seen your website. It's wonderful. It's got a lot of great content on there. What are some of the things that are coming up for you in terms of your programs?
Yeah, thanks for asking. One program I'm super excited about, I like to call the 2-day self-discovery retreat, or if you would, boot camp.
Fantastic.
And this is really designed for people that want that deeper dive to really step into more now.
Yeah.
And so the way that it works, it's a personal retreat. It's one-on-one. And people can tell me in the Los Angeles area,
yes,
or work virtually if they'd like, mm-hmm, where they would like to meet. And it's basically a 2.5-day retreat where ahead of time we have a call to better understand what their agenda is and to determine if there's any assessment work that we want to do ahead of time. And then the first day is really designed similar to what I was sharing before, mm-hmm, about that self-discovery piece and doing that deeper dive into whether it be values, strengths, work-life integration, et cetera. And then they have the opportunity that evening to be processing, reflecting, integrating, depending on what we're working on. And then the second day is then really taking a look at whatever their specific agenda is and how having that now more clear awareness of their foundation can help support them in really manifesting what it is that they want for themselves. And then we have 3 follow-up calls after the retreat to really help lock in the learning. So it's not just, you know, a deep dive and then we walk away and hope for the best.
Yeah.
But it really gives people then an opportunity to create those new synapses and those new habits that we were just talking about.
Yes, that's wonderful. This retreat sounds like an absolute cracker for those who are wanting to get involved. Is there an application process that you have to go through? And if they want to find you to be a part of this retreat, where are they going to go?
Yes, so if you go to my website, steppingintomore.com, you'll find under the coaching tab, there's personal coaching. And you will find a tab there that gives more information on the self-discovery retreat. And all of it's laid out right there.
Thank you so very much, Rachel, for sharing everything that you've done today. Everybody who was on the call today, there is some wonderful content into steppingintomore.com. Be sure to check it out. Rachel, it's been my pleasure spending some time with you on the My Future Business Show today.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure for me as well, Rick.
Thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the call, then make sure to subscribe, leave a comment, share us with your friends, and book your spot on the show at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. And if you're looking for solutions that will help grow your business, then visit myfuturebusiness.com/shop.